Like to call to order this regular meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Anikas?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Coburn?
Here.
Mr. Detweiler and I are also here.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Start with the student recognition, please.
We have Dr. Unger.
He's coming.
I mean, come on out because it might take you a little while to get out here. Tonight I have the privilege of honoring our Congressional Student of the Month for April, Zach Marciando. Zach's had several outstanding accomplishments while here at Madison Plains. He's been a member of the marching band for several years, actually 5 years, I believe, started in junior high. He's been marching band captain, he's outstanding senior marching band. The one person and one teacher that he feels inspires him most is Lynn Robbins, because she pushes him to do his best in everything he does. After graduation, he plans on attending Mount Carmel School of Nursing and pursuing a degree in nursing. So, Mr. Marciando, April Student of the Month.
Like to celebrate a distinguished teacher that we have. She was given the honor last year in 2017. She was recognized by Patel for Kids as a Teaching Distinguished Educator Award, which is given to a group of educators who have had a powerful impact on students, colleagues, and their community. Mrs. Lark was awarded this honor, like I said, last year. There were 33 teachers across Ohio who were granted this prestigious award. This year, Sunny 95 recognized 9 of those teachers as Teachers of the Month. Sunny 95 came out to our school and presented Mrs. Lark with a plaque and her accomplishment and honored her class with a pizza party. I would like to formally present Mrs. Lark with her plaque tonight in front of the Board of Education.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mark, can we get a picture?
All right, now we'll go to public communication. We're going to try to stick to 3 minutes a person. After everybody's had a chance to go, and you know, we'll discuss, I guess, amongst the board, but we'd like to give you the opportunity to speak more if you still have more to say at that point. But we'll start with 3 minutes. Thank you. So the first one is... I'm sorry.
Sufficient Grace.
Okay. So I guess we'll start with Sufficient Grace Program, Tracy Kronk.
District, we have 139 students that have benefited from Sufficient Grace, and that factors out. I was asked to give a budget on what that is. It's really just $35 a student per month. So as the numbers go up and down, that number does vary. So I just kind of base it on the 496, and we go from there. I read the letters that the kids wrote, and they talked about not wanting Sufficient Grace to go away, and personally, that's not going to happen. Funding that does or does not come from a district doesn't dictate whether I serve the district. It's one organization, and if one school district pulls a lot more weight than the other, that really doesn't matter to me. I serve all kids until I can serve no kids. Do you have any questions for me? I only had a couple things that she said that I needed to address. One thing I wanted to say is there was a teacher, Mrs. Wallner, who wrote to me today. And I think the three things that she said to make her think of the kids in Sufficient Grace when they walk back to her classroom is smiling faces, filled bellies, and happy hearts. And that's really, that's my whole goal.
We totally operate on donations.
We're totally on donations. We get no grants. I've been really fortunate that I, at that cost of what it's going to be, $170,000, that it always shows up. It's always there. And it's taught me a lot of about my faith. God brought me to this organization, and he provides for it. We have bags to show you what they get. So I'm talking as much to you as I can just talk louder, so I don't have to stand there. This is what they get. I have some exciting things coming up where I know these are easy for kids to take home in their bag. A lot of students take home more than one if they have siblings that are older and don't want to take it to high school, or if they have siblings that are younger and not in school yet. So they may take several. These are easy for them to fit several in their backpack. I'm working on new packaging, working with companies that are going to design maybe a box, something that might be a little flat, and they can still fit those in their backpack. So I'm hoping to have some of those rolled out for August. Summer's a busy time for me personally with the organization. So this would be an example of a weekday bag, and then Tanya has a weekend bag. So on Monday and Wednesday, they get, for all of Monday, a snack after school and then a dinner. Wednesday, the same thing, and for Friday, they would get Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening, and a snack for the weekend as well. but then I think there are a few wrong little things that are taking into account that they may not have electric from time to time. They can still eat what they have in the bag without electric. They can eat if they don't have running water. They can still eat what they get in the bag, just keeping everyone in mind of that.
Tracy, how do you donate?
We have a website, and you can go to sufficientgrace2012.org. We have a PayPal, which would be the same email address. We have a Facebook. Facebook is really easy to maneuver from there to find our website from there. I do have extras if anybody would be interested in these. These are, they've been much requested, and I haven't done it because I do about 95% of the organizational process for the organization. So getting around to that stuff is sometimes difficult for me to do. I homeschool two of my four kids. So this was a part-time thing that I was going to do. I was going to feed two children. One boy told me he was hungry when we came back on a Tuesday. And I said, well, what do I do about that? He didn't eat all weekend because he had an extended weekend and it made it harder on him. So I thought, well, I'll take him food. And I thought, well, I can commit to feeding, you know, like one or two kids. And now I have 500 kids. So it's been quite the learning curve for me to accommodate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Annie.
I'm Annie Wethington. I live at 11420 State Road 56, Southeast Mount Sterling, Ohio. 43143. Dear members of the Board of Education, Dear members of the Board of Education, I have written this letter to you all today to try and keep one of the most hardworking and caring teachers I've ever had the pleasure of meeting, Mr. Carroll, at our school. While he is not my teacher in classes, he is my teacher for progress check. And even in that short time, he's done a lot for me. And in these short 9 months that I've known him, he's offered me guidance, assistance, and support whenever I need it. While he is intimidating at first to look at, he is not intimidating. He's kind, supportive, and he generally loves the kids as much as he loves teaching kids, which is not something you see a lot these days. I have known teachers who don't really care about students as much as he does, and it's sad to see that they don't really care about us. And it's stressful on the kids, and it's stressful on all of you, as well as the administrators who have to try and take care of that. Mr. Carroll is a teacher who genuinely cares about the success of his students, whether in his art class or just in general. He rewards his students in progress check who don't have missing assignments, as well as those who never get their missing assignment, who never get missing assignments. He's always listening to our problems and helping us find ways to solve them. No students. No matter what, when he screams or criticizes someone, even though there are students whose behavior is not that good. I don't know how many of you have ever had awful, horrible, soul-crushingly bad days, but I assure you, Mr. Carroll could fix those days in 5 minutes. Which leads me to my next point. I work very hard in my classes not to have missing assignments. I have never been to assignment hall, but there have been a few times where I've been on the list to be on assignment. Those times have been when either I am missing and have not gotten the assignments that day, so I have to turn them in a day late after I get them, or when I'm working harder to make that grade better when I do not understand. But anytime this has happened, Mr. Carroll has offered my assistance right away. No matter what, for any student, he is there saying, what can I do to help? What teacher can I call? What can I do to help you get these assignments in? These are all things that he does in a normal work day, so let me tell you about the small fraction of what he does outside of school. On March 13th, he accompanied the art and choir students to the OHC Music and Art Festival. He helped the students all day, and although he could have left after the arts events were over, he stayed to support the band and the choir. And he helps so much with other clubs, sitting in when teachers aren't there, helping out as much as he can because he cares so much. There are many positions in the school district whose jobs can be done by someone else. I do not want to see them go, and I've grown close to so many of the staff here at Madison Plains. This is not something that can happen in the arts department. Do you know why there's more than one band and one art teacher? Because you cannot put it down to just one. There are so many programs and so many classes that if you just have one art teacher, there will not be enough students that will get accommodated. What about the junior high? What about every single high school class? I hope that today you will all try as best you can to keep him here with us, with the students who still have not had him, who haven't had a chance to grow from his teaching. So please consider every possible option before you decide to let him go. Or better yet, everyone in this room, every single parent, teacher, adult who can vote, vote for the levy. Vote so nobody has to get cut off. We need to vote for this levy and save these jobs because our school district is only as good as the services we offer. And when we start cutting these services, the students suffer, and in return, the community will ultimately suffer when the families choose not to move into the district or not to stay at the school that they cannot offer a comprehensive arts program. Thank you.
Thank you. Stormy.
My name is Stormy Hiram. I live at 1035 Margate Circle, London, Ohio, 43140. As most of you know, I teach math for 8th grade in high school. However, I am also the president of the Teachers Association. I am here tonight to let you all know that at this time we do not agree with the budget proposal plan. We feel this plan is weighing solely on the backs of the employees, and we still have outstanding questions with no answers. We would like to see 2 to 3 board members sit down with 2 to 3 MPEA members to answer these questions and possibly discuss other options. I know our lawyer, Mark Linder, had discussed with your lawyer sitting down this Friday, but she said it would not work due to other commitments. I hope that you will truly consider our offer and find a date that will work. I feel that we are all working towards a common goal of providing the best education possible for all of our students. So please, let's sit down together and resolve this amicably. Thank you.
Thank you. Rob Carroll.
Woo!
Hello. My name is Rob Carroll, 1673 Hazel Road, Kingston, Ohio. One of the art teachers here at Madison Plains. I recently sent the board members just last week an email with just some thoughts about one of the budget cuts that's going to really impact the art program at Madison Plains. So what I'd like to do is just read that email. I think most of us are aware at this point that one of the proposed budget cuts is the elimination of a junior high art teacher. I just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware that we don't actually have a junior high art teacher position. So the other art teacher and I split the junior high and high school art classes. We split those evenly, and the junior high art classes actually only amount to 2 periods a day, which is 1 for 7th grade, 1 for 8th grade. So by eliminating this art position, what we're really going to lose is all of our junior high art, which is really sad. Plus we're going to lose most, if not all, of our advanced art classes for our high school. So with only one art teacher in the high school, we're just not going to have the resources to offer more than the state-required art classes. These 2 classes are 1 semester long each and are designed to provide a foundation of knowledge that we can use later for those advanced classes. Without our junior high art classes or our advanced art classes, our students are only going to be left with the opportunity to take 2 semesters worth of art between the 7th grade and the 12th grade. All of our students who are interested in pursuing a career in the arts or who simply just enjoy a creative outlet in their school day are just going to be out of luck. I'd like to just ask everyone to remember that art isn't just about painting and drawing. We're teaching skills to help students prepare to navigate a world that's constantly bombarding them with visual imagery, whether it's on their phones, on their computers, on the television. Our art programs are trying to prepare students for careers in things like graphic design, web design, animation, illustration, engineering. Art is also about using the other side of our brains to help us become creative thinkers and problem solvers. These are skills that we use in everything we do. It's not just about art. And on a personal note, I'm not only new to Madison Plains, I'm a first year teacher. I decided to pursue my dream of teaching art after 17 years in a career where I felt like I didn't make any difference. At the end of every day at Madison Plains, I know that I made a difference. I know because the students tell me. I know because they show me in the work that they do for me and for their other teachers. And I know because the other teachers, the staff, and the families, they make sure that I know. For my first day in the classroom, I was welcomed with open arms into this great community. Madison Plains is a team, and more importantly, we're a family. The thought of leaving here next year, of having to say goodbye to the kids that I've connected with, the kids who share their stories, their struggles, their triumphs, of having to leave the unbelievable support of the teachers and the staff here at Madison Plains. I'm just going to be totally honest and say that it hurts my heart to think about. So for the sake of my heart, and for the sake of all of our kids, most importantly, please don't take art away from them. So where else are they going to make such a beautiful mess every day? Thank you.
Third grade team.
Hi, my name is Kay Regal. I live at 265 East High Street in London. I am a graduate of Madison Plains, and I have taught here for 28 years, and I am speaking on behalf of my third grade team. When the first proposed budget plan was made public, it was very upsetting for my team and I to learn that our district would be losing two reading specialists. Our first thought was how this would affect our children. With the inclusion of children who have various physical, emotional, and educational needs in the general education classroom, educational models look different from when we all first started teaching. The reading specialists and the LLI program offer a different approach by working in small groups and at the student's independent reading level. The reading specialists have an in-depth knowledge about teaching children to read. They provide individualized intervention for students reading below grade level, perform assessments, and analyze data that helps them identify students who could benefit from more focused instruction. These individuals know that all students learn differently, so they have multiple reading strategies to offer children and the classroom teacher to help these children become successful readers. Essentially, they are a jack of all trades. We have seen our students who receive these services become leaders within the classroom as their confidence as a reader grows. One student wrote, "Without my LLI teacher, I wouldn't read like I do now." We know the board believes that quality education is the foundation for success in life. In our opinion, teaching children to read is the highest educational priority. As you make your final decisions, we know that reductions have to be made. But when it directly affects the time and exposure that students have with materials at their independent reading level with a highly trained reading specialist, we urge you to reconsider and make reductions elsewhere. There is excellence in all we do. Thank you.
Good evening, Board of Education, Superintendent Detweiler, and Treasurer Mustang. My name is Erin Moody. I'm 1382 Palais Drive, Grove City, Ohio. I'm a fourth grade teacher and a graduate of Madison Plains. I am grateful for this opportunity to speak tonight regarding how to continue the positive academic progress that we have been able to make as a district with the board and the teachers working together. There are 2 points that I would like to share with you tonight. First, I would like to stress how important it is to protect the education of our students. Second, in order to do this, it is vital for the students to continue to receive the same services that our current teacher positions and staff provide. In order for us to protect our students' education, we need to continue to fund the positions that we currently have. These positions are vital for our students' academic growth and our district's vision. These continued services have provided our students with skills that they need today. For example, in October of 2017, 71% of our third graders passed the test for third grade reading guarantee. The students would not have been able to attain this academic success without these services. Thank you, reading specialists. Therefore, I feel it is vital for the district to keep these positions. Thank you for your dedication to the Madison Plains School District and the community. We must continue to keep the top-notch teachers in our district that have been loyal hardworking, and dedicated to the district goals of student success. I appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great to you. It's a team.
My name is Tina Seaburn, and today I will be speaking on behalf of our fifth grade team. Together we have a combined 50 years experience in the profession, 5 Masters of Education degrees. We have 2 alumni of the district on our team, and we also have one of those alumni is also a parent of a student within our district. We have reviewed the revised budget and want to share our opinions. We know you have received many opinions, but want to speak on behalf of the educators who are held responsible for our state scores, district report cards, and student achievement within our district. We are extremely disappointed to see the addition of an instructional coach and or additional educators added to this list. While we know the loss of anyone impacts our buildings and our students significantly, the loss of an instructional coach will be detrimental to our students, educators, and overall district's continued success. If you look at the data from prior to 7 years ago when we implemented our instructional coaches to after, we believe you will see the positive impact they have had on our district. The educators within our district rely heavily on their knowledge and resources. We simply could not do our job efficiently without them. Losing any of them would be a direct impact on our students' education. The state has continuously added more and more responsibilities to the plate of their educators without providing our districts any resources to implement them. The one resource we have been given at this district is our instructional coaches that help guide us better meet the demands that the state and our district have put on our plates. If you look throughout reputable and successful programs, even outside of education, coaches are frequently used to support their success. Being a huge sports fan, I look at programs such as the Ohio State Buckeyes. Urban Meyer recruits some of the top athletes in the country. Once they arrive, he does not just quit coaching them, and he certainly can't coach them by himself. He enlists the help of other top coaches who are highly qualified in specific areas of need for individual players. Those players are not responsible for achieving the top goals such as the national title on their own without the coaches to help them continue improving their trade. This is the exact strategy we implemented here at Madison Plains 7 years ago for our educators and students. Madison Plains made the decision to improve the learning of students within their district by implementing the academic coaching program. They trained and hired academic coaches who are highly qualified in specific content for them to provide guidance to teachers and students within their respective content areas. In our opinions, this program has been proven very successful and has had the same positive impact on our district as other successful programs throughout various other professions and businesses. We are not sure why after 7 years of proven success we would now cut the program in size and go back to our old ways, thus turning our back on our students and communities by essentially saying we are comfortable going back to the mediocrity we once were. Now is not the time for change. We have been going through change for the better. Now is the time to continue the plan because it is working. I know I'm running out of time, sorry. We feel very strongly about this and that you are doing both our teachers and most importantly our students a huge disservice if this were to come to fruition. We believe a true picture of the impact our instructional coaches provide for our district has not been painted. We ask that as our board moves forward in the very tough task of a budget reduction plan, that you collaborate with those of us who are in the trenches of the classroom every single day. We would be happy to speak with all of you and explain the direct impact it would have on our students to remove an instructional coach or any educator for that matter from our classrooms. Lastly, the initial proposal leaves our district with a general fund balance of $910,412. The new proposed budget reduction leaves our district with a general fund balance of $832,219. This is a $78,193 less savings to our district while eliminating more educators. We would like to know why there was a change in the initial budget proposal and when it saves less money while eliminating more educators directly from our classrooms.
Thank you. Ms. Grimm.
Good evening, members members of the board, fellow teachers, and community members. My name is Felicia Groom, and I live at 3764 Lake Cumberland Way, Grove City, Ohio. This year, I have the privilege to be the intervention specialist and the freshman and senior class advisor at the high school. I just wanted to briefly share my thoughts and the thoughts that have come from other teachers who have, you know, communicated with me their thoughts on the proposed budget reductions this evening. Our priority as a school district is educating students, and yet the proposed budget eliminates essential positions and imposes pay freezes and step freezes for all teachers that will cause these high caliber teachers within the district to go elsewhere. If that doesn't send a clear message to the community that education isn't really the priority, I don't know what does. The proposed reductions only impact the individuals, including our students, inside the walls of this school district. But the burden should not be ours to bear alone. The weight of this burden seems to be an unfair load for all of us with inside these walls. What occurs inside the district should affect everyone in this community, not just those of us inside the district. I stand here as a teacher and urge the board to consider ways to cut costs but keep the focus as our number one priority is educating students. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Kindergarten team.
I'm Cynthia Victor-McConkey.
I'm Andrea Smith.
And our other three team members had work commitments, college commitments, or coaching commitments this evening. The kindergarten team, which consists of five teachers who have tenured 78 years of teaching experience all at Madison Plains, three who are alumni and still reside in the district, and four of them who are parents of students who will be graduating or have graduated from Madison Plains, would like to thank the Board of Education for this opportunity to express our feelings, since we have a vested interest in the Madison Plains community as educators, alumni, and parents and community members. Teachers everywhere are the driving force and connection to the community. We, as teachers, work diligently every day to nurture our students and to educate them for their future careers. Teachers are the driving force in the grades we receive from the state. Therefore, we need each and every one of us to collaborate and learn from. We work together to help our students strive, learn, and achieve their goals. Our instructional coaches are at the forefront of this endeavor. For the past 7 years, the instructional coaches have visited our classrooms, taught our students lessons, which in turn serves as a model for us. Their open door policy welcomes all of us to ask questions about teaching methods, curriculum, assessments, vocabulary instruction, Mastery Connect, and so much more. The instructional coaches have obtained a plethora of training and content areas in which they provide in-service training to share the strategies and knowledge they have learned. As a result, the classroom teachers are able to implement these strategies to better educate the children of our community. Also, these ladies have spearheaded math camp, assisted with Surf Into Kindergarten Night, led Right to Read Week, participated in monthly roundtables with our administration, attended TBT meetings, mentored resident educators, and much more. Our scores on state testing have risen during the duration of the instructional coach program, which we feel reflects their excellent contribution to our schools. The instructional coaches affect every child in our buildings on a daily basis, whether it be directly or indirectly. The instruction coaches are a valued and required necessity at Madison Plains. We challenge every board member to spend a day with our instructional coaches to understand exactly what their job entails. What our instructional coaches do for all students and all staff needs to be held in the same regard as any athletic coach in our district, which is an area in which the Board of Education has chosen not to implement any reductions in at this time. In conclusion, the Board of Education's initial proposal left our district with a general fund balance of around $900,000. The news proposal budget reduction left our district with a general fund balance of only around $800,000. This is about $78,000 less of a savings to our district, yet eliminating more educators. We would like to know why there were changes in the budget reduction proposal from the original proposal when the second proposal saves less money while reducing more educators. We plead that you re-examine the latest proposal to find alternatives to the reduction of yet another educator. Thank you, the kindergarten team.
My name is Jessie Mace Froelich, and I teach kindergarten through sixth grade art here at Madison Plains. I live at 36 Wilson Avenue, Columbus, Ohio, 43205. Tonight I'm reading a letter for you on behalf of Alicia McCafferty. She's one of our two junior high and high school art teachers. She's not able to be here tonight, but I'd like to emphasize that although I'm literally speaking for her, her words, as well as those of our colleague Rob Carroll, truly speak for me and for our department as a whole. Members of the board, my name is Alicia McCafferty. I'm one of the two art teachers for the junior high and high school. First, I would like to say I'm truly sorry I could not be here in person to address you, as I have three tiny humans to care for at home. Second, I'd like to say that I do not envy the challenges you face trying to balance the budget and provide a quality education for our students. Both of these reasons contribute to why I feel it's important that you fully understand what you are taking away by eliminating an art teacher. As a parent, I want the best for my children. I want them to reach their full potential, whether that's in the sciences, agriculture, the arts, etc. As a member of this community, it is concerning that my children may not have opportunities to further their education in the visual arts. As an art teacher, I'm concerned for our students who thrive in the art room. The art department for our district consists of Jessie Mace Froelich, Rob Carroll, and myself. We are developing an art program in which I take great pride. We have had less than 1 year together and already have collaborated and discussed ways in which to grow our program. We are coming together to create an all-inclusive district-wide art show. We are finding ways to best serve our students, and I guarantee that our program is positively impacting the children in Madison Plains. I also want to discuss the person you proposed to cut, Rob Carroll. This is Rob's very first year as an art teacher, and he's an outstanding one. Not only is he a talented artist, but he is such a kind, caring, and eclectic person. He and I are a balancing act. The media in which I am weak, he is strong, and vice versa. He has brought the incredible specialization of painting, which our students did not previously have here at Madison Plains. The addition of Rob allows us to have advanced art courses for our students who wish to pursue the visual arts after graduation, and for our students who need a creative outlet in which the arts become their therapy. We explore real-world problems and approach these in creative ways. Without Rob, we will not be able to provide these courses. We will merely provide the minimal graduation requirements. Students respect Rob, and he has developed an incredible rapport with them. Earlier this year, an eighth grade student drew "I Hate Art" on his paper. Rob didn't get offended. He saw this as an opportunity and a teachable moment. He turned that piece of paper into an art project. He had students explore the idea, and even had that same student who hated art come back to co-teach the project that he had inspired the next quarter with a new group of eighth grade students. This is just one example of Rob working to reach all students here and succeeding. I want to draw your attention to the quote that graces our digital sign outside that we see every day as we drive into our district. Alone we can do so little, together we can do so much. I wholeheartedly agree. Thank you for your time.
Second grade team.
Hello, my name is Corey Brewster, and I'm speaking on behalf of the second grade team. I live at 1793 Andover Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43212. On behalf of the second grade team, we would like to address the board with our concerns regarding the second proposal to balance the budget. This year, in comparison to previous years, students taking the required test for the third grade guarantee have dramatically improved. This is due in large part to the support of our instructional coaches and LLI reading specialists. They provide to the instructional support they provide to the teachers and the students in our district. That support includes help with understanding and implementing changes to our curriculum, enhancing learning by providing innovative materials, improving teaching strategies by modeling best practices, organizing and analyzing data in order to drive instruction and identify the needs of students, classroom support with leveled groups and one-on-one intensive instruction, and both planning and presenting professional development. In 2011, our district applied for and received a grant through the Race to the Top initiative. These funds were allocated to support school districts, close achievement gaps, and get more students into college by supporting key reform strategies, including adopting more rigorous standards and assessments, evaluating and retaining highly effective teachers and principals, and building data systems that measure student success and support low-performing students. MPEA collaborated with the administration to make this possible by signing a memorandum of understanding so that the implementation of this program could begin. This program helped us to be the effective team that we are today. It was through this program that our strong support team was developed, including coaches and reading specialists. We are asking you to please reconsider other ways to cut from the budget before dismantling a program that we have spent years developing with hard work and dedication. Teachers in this district have continually made sacrifices that have affected our personal finances, but have never agreed to make cuts that affect the quality of education. In conclusion, we would like you to strongly reconsider other ways to cut from the budget other than reducing MPEA staff. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Alicia Dill.
Hello, my name is Alicia Dill. I live at 13884 West Street, Southwest Sedalia, Ohio. I've been a teacher in this district since 1989, and I'm reading a letter from Diane Holleran. She is one of the teachers of high school. She's a family and consumer services teacher, what we would call home ec, kind of like home ec when I was in school. She couldn't be here tonight, so I'm reading for her. She says, the importance of family and consumer sciences in the Madison Plains District. Family and consumer sciences empower Madison Plains School students to achieve success in the future. I believe that the foundation of our society is responsible adults who find joy in their life, successfully support themselves financially, are able to problem solve, communicate well, and are successful community members who have stable, loving families and relationships. My classes help a student achieve these characteristics. Family and consumer sciences courses allow students to plan for possible careers, develop practical skills for employment and cooking, understand the importance of nutrition, and learn about appropriate childcare practices, financial literacy, resource management, and the art of positive communication. The program supports critical reading and writing skills. It reinforces rigorous academic studies, integrates math, science, and metacognitive skills, and allows students to capitalize on their natural abilities to learn the most effective strategies for success through hands-on experiences. These classes allow our students to develop teamwork, leadership, and technology skills. These assets enable them to become high-level critical thinkers in order to meet the personal, family, career, and community challenges they will face in their adult life. Family and consumer sciences courses offer Madison Plains school students valuable learning experiences and career opportunities that they will not receive otherwise. When our students strive for excellence, we can confidently entrust the future to them. Family and consumer sciences courses may be among the best investments Madison Plains is making. Diane Halpern. Thank you.
Tyler Stewart, and I'm with 315 North London Street, Mount Sterling, Ohio. I'm currently a senior here at Madison Plains. I'm here to talk about the importance of the Madison Plains Art Program and my teacher, Mr. Carroll, sitting back there. I'm currently taking jazz band, physics, drawing, world geography, brick lit, lunch, calculus, painting, and 3D design. Many of you probably didn't notice, but one third of my classes consist of art classes, and that is not a coincidence. Today, I've worn a shirt I recently acquired while attending a college visit at Columbus College of Art and Designs. One of the four colleges I've applied and been accepted to. The other three being the Art Academy in Cincinnati, the Ohio State University, and my top choice, Union College of Art and Design. My shirt states, you really can't do anything without the idea. Art classes are what generate these ideas the shirt is talking about. Not only encourage creativity, but out-of-the-box thinking. In classes such as calculus, for instance, everything is taught in one of three ways. The teacher has a way, the textbook has a way, and the students create their own way of finding the answer. In history, there's one way. It's history. There's nothing else. There's just it. It's history. Then you have science, and usually that's equations or proven theories by, you know, different scientists throughout life. But art is not like that. It's a universal language that is available to all demographics. It doesn't have a set-in-stone method. You create your own method. There are no mistakes, just happy accidents, as Bob Ross once said. You can tell a group of 20 students around the same age group to draw a tree, but not a single tree in the entire group will look the same. That is one of the beautiful things about art. But it doesn't stop there. It also provides the ability to express yourself without the use of words. Having art in my life enabled me to cope with the suicide of my grandfather and with my chronic disease. And I may just be one of 102 in my class that plans to continue my education studying in the art field, but I can say that for me, at least, having art classes offered to the school gives me a mental break between the constant and consistent core classes that put stress on my brain. And it properly prepared me for my college and my future. I would not have been able to make it to where I am in my career without the help of Mr. Carroll. When you're applying to an art school, it's different than applying to all the other different type of academic, you know, majors you could apply for. You have to create a portfolio and answer questions that have to do with the art field. He helped me get all this ready, and it's going to help me achieve my dreams of one day working for Walt Disney Animation Studios, where I can be an animator. But Mr. Carroll has the qualities of someone like Mr. Jackson, and we all know that is a very high standard to live up to. He's one of the very few teachers that I've had who actually care about the well-being of the students. Whenever I have a bad day, and he notices that I'm quiet or I'm not, you know, rambunctious like I am right now, he comes to me and he goes, "Hey, Skylar, are you okay? Is there anything you want to talk about?" He always checks on the students because he genuinely cares about how we are doing, and not just in his class, but in all classes. To conclude my statement, I would like to read some statistics about art education. Students who study art are 4 times more likely to be recognized for academic achievement. In my class alone, 4 out of the 5 top students in my class are in art classes, including myself. Students are also 3 times more likely to be awarded for school attendance. Aubrey Lilly, who has perfect attendance all throughout from kindergarten to 12th grade, is in an art class. Arts and music education programs are mandatory in countries that rank consistently among the highest for math and science test scores, like Japan, Hungary, and the Netherlands. And in a study of high-poverty schools in Chicago, the schools that were participating in an arts program made huge strides between closing the gap between high- and low-income students' academic achievement. And the quote that I would like to end my statement with is by Sydney Clemens, who is an art advocate. She says, "Art has the role in education of helping children become like themselves instead of becoming like everyone else." Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And I'm a reading specialist. I'm one of the 2 reading specialists planned to be cut whether the levy passes or not, and this needs to change, and I'm here to tell you why. First, let me tell you about my career at MP. I started working in the district in the spring of 2008. I became a second grade teacher the following year and taught second grade until the spring of 2017 when I applied to be a reading specialist. This isn't a job I needed to take, it's a job I wanted because I believe in this program. As a general education teacher, I valued the reading expertise the reading specialist gave me about my students in my classroom. I saw students not only become independent readers, but they became confident readers. I know how hard it is as a general education teacher to teach 20 or more students at their individual level, and I value the support my students and I gained from the reading specialists. Getting this job was not as easy as just applying. There are personal sacrifices I had to make. In order to become a reading specialist, I had to take the praxis exam, which cost me hundreds of dollars that I didn't get reimbursed for. So pretty much I paid to have this job. Some of you may not know what a reading specialist is, so let me help inform you on why this role is so important. In general, we help struggling readers to improve their literacy to gain reading levels that match their grade. This is done in individual and small group sessions. The program we use to teach students is called Leveled Literacy Intervention, or LLI. All of the reading specialists have been trained in LLI. In the elementary building, we focus on learning to read. But in the intermediate building, we shift our focus to reading to learn. These basic reading skills become vital for continued learning in other subjects like history, math, and science. Without these foundational skills, students are unable to keep up with their peers and continue to fall further and farther behind for the remainder of their educational career. This year, we serviced a total of 283 students in the LLI program. The first 18 weeks, we specialized with 147 students. The second round of students we are currently intervening with is 136 students. There are a total of 5 reading specialists. This breaks down to 29 students per specialist in the first round and 27 students per teacher in the current round. Here are my personal results from the first round of students I had. 4 students went up 1 reading level, 10 students went up 2 reading levels, 5 students went up 3 reading levels, 3 students went up 4 reading levels, and 2 students went up 5 reading levels. And here is what's at stake. If you eliminate the 2 proposed reading specialist positions, you will be taking away the opportunity for roughly 112 students to benefit from these extraordinary services. You'll be forcing the remaining 3 reading specialists to split the work among 3 teachers instead of 5, which will increase their workload and result in less attention to each individual student and their reading improvements. You will be hurting the general education teachers because they will get less assistance helping their struggling readers, which will further the gap of literacy in the classroom. You will be gambling the success of the school's report card and the passing rate of the third grade guarantee if you take away the ability to provide the intensive intervention needed to help raise their test scores. In the study, Double Jeopardy, How Third Grade Reading Skills and Poverty Influence High School Graduation, conducted by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, found children who cannot read at grade level by the start of fourth grade are 4 times less likely to graduate on time than their grade level peers. And some studies find they're less likely to graduate at all. Some of you sitting here have children who require or who have required the assistance of reading specialists and LLI. Can you confidently put your children and the rest of the district's children at the risk of not getting the education they deserve? I implore you to reconsider cutting the reading specialists. These children demand a fair and proper path to success. Thank you.
The first thing I'd like to point out is, apparently, according to me, 15 comes after 13. And somewhat related, I also went to a school that had a lot of staff cuts growing up. My name is Jeffrey Stokes. I live at 6584 Strathcona Avenue in Columbus, Ohio. If we were to try to answer the question, what is the purpose of education, our answers might differ slightly. I understand your responsibility is to serve the needs of our district. But if you ask any educator in our district or in the world, the answer is always to provide the best education for every student. So every student has the best opportunity to be successful. Well, I'm here to tell you today that those 2 goals are one and the same. In the 5 years I've taught here, there's always one thing that continually strikes me about this community. It is built on families and loyalty. I cannot tell you how many parents I've met through teaching and coaching here who have told me their own experiences, walking through the halls, playing sports for our school, and just growing up in Madison Plains. This community is full of members that grow up here, they're nurtured here, they blossom right here, and they go to college, start a career, and then they return right back home. They share their accomplishments with our community, or they become part of a family business or a family farm that is served our community for generations. Kind of to sum it up, the future of our community walks through our building every single day, and our future is in serious jeopardy. I've had the good fortune of serving as the English department head for the past few years, which has allowed me to work with BLT, Academic Advisory, PBIS, High Schools at Work. Every one of our conversations come back to the same goal. And they always, how can we provide the best education for each student? We discuss how to improve test scores, to get our kids ready for college and careers, to vary our course offerings, and to improve student motivation. So our kids have choices. So our kids have confidence, and they have the credentials to compete and flourish as they grow up, as they embark on their careers, and as they contribute to society. Yet we're on the verge of passing a budget that will undercut all of that. We cannot be committed to our students if we are not committed to education. And education cannot be provided without educators. We look at the options and we say, what are we losing? Sports, a few teachers, a couple of aides. No, we're not losing anything. Our students are losing everything. They're losing their best education. They're losing their shot at the brightest future. And if we don't change the proposal, they could be losing part of their community because this seriously endangers Madison Plains. As the eternal optimist, though, I try to look at this situation and try to pull some good out of it and look for an opportunity. I hope you guys have the time and the desire to look over this proposal again and try to find more ways to keep these jobs. We want our students and athletes to be committed and appreciative of the extra opportunities they get. Then let's teach student groups and teams the value of fundraising to put more of those extracurriculars on their backs. Do we want our kids to be self-motivated learners, lifelong learners? Maybe explore the opportunity of cutting busing one day a week, moving down to a four-day student work week, where we move towards a more blended classroom where students are in charge of their own learning. We can work out these situations. We can work out these problems without losing our community, our education. There are avenues we've yet to explore, and they're definitely going to create friction with the community, with parents, with teachers. But through pressure, through friction, that's how change comes about. And our community desperately needs this kind of change. So, as everyone has already stated, probably more eloquently than me, we desperately would like you to relook at the budget and try to find some ways to save these jobs so we can keep providing this education for our kids. Thank you for your time.
That's the last name on the list. Anybody that didn't get a chance to sign up, I'd like to say anything. Now we're going to move to executive session. I move that we enter into executive session at 7:58 p.m. for the purpose of the sections noted as allowed under the following of Ohio Revised Code, 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated official. Section 4, preparing for, conducting, or reviewing negotiations or bargaining session with public employees. Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes.
Second.
Discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Executive session.
We're going to go ahead and step out. Hopefully it won't be too long. We'll get back to you guys. Executive session at 8:43. All right, so first I want to start by thanking all of you for coming tonight. I really appreciate everything that you said. We truly do take those things into consideration when we deliberate. We've met roughly 7 times in the last 2 months, you know, and tried to take in public input each one of those times. Taking what you've said, we want to make sure we're taking it all in, and so we're not going to vote on the final budget reduction proposal tonight. We will definitely work with Stormy to take up her offer to meet some combination of some of us with her and to definitely hear what you have to say. So we'll work to do that. And we're all a team, right? A lot of us have kids in the school, live here, whatever. We want all of you to continue, and we appreciate your support of the levy. It's obviously vitally important. You're all aware of all the different community meetings planned starting tomorrow night. We hope you can be there and reach out to your students, parents, and all that kind of stuff. So we'll continue to work. We'll work with your representatives and hopefully get something that's in the best interest of the taxpayers and you as the teachers. Thank you. All right. So now we'll move to approval of board minutes.
President, I make a motion that the minutes of the March 20th, 2018 and March 26th, 2018 meeting be approved as written. Yes.
Second.
Discussion. All right. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley.
Yes.
Mr. Coburn.
Yes.
Mr. Butts.
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas.
Yes.
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Carried 5-0.
Now we'll move to department reports.
If I could, I'd ask Mr. Garrett to come up. Brian is our head of maintenance. He has a bit of good news he'd like to share with us.
Oh, good news.
Hi, my name is Brian Garrett. I'm the head of maintenance. Forgive me if I'm a little nervous. This is the second time I think I've publicly spoke since sophomore year, Moody and Jackson's. I did report on the Indians. So. First of all, I just want to publicly say thanks to all my guys. Sometimes they kind of get overlooked on some things. I know they work hard behind the scenes and do the best they can from the most senior guy to the least senior guy. And I just want to say thanks and appreciate all the hard work they do. What I want to talk about tonight was last year, I kind of wanted to implement basically a consolidation of chemicals into one area. In the past, I know from me working as a custodian, we'd always, I like to call it Santa's wish list, we kind of ask for what we want and then it would be up to Mr. Kindler to see if that worked within our budget. A lot of times, we would have things in different areas we didn't know that we had or some things that was, on the verge of getting expired that we could have used that. So basically, when I started, I wanted to consolidate to one area. I call it the cage because it's in the old cage in the high school dock area. What we did was we spent, a good day during, I think, last spring break, just kind of going through all of our closets, finding everything that we had, working up, pretty much a list of what we had, what works, what doesn't work, as far as equipment. And this past year, we implemented our custodians will get on there. I think it's on the school website under staff resources. They get on there and basically it's a 4 or 5 question, multiple choice kind of thing where they ask what kind of chemicals they need from the cage, how many they need individual cases, etc. That comes right to me via email, cell phone. I can pull from that pretty much a running inventory of the cage at all times. So that helps me when it comes to ordering. In the past, we ordered, I think, 2 or 3 times a year, I think, under Larry. And they were big orders. I mean, there was beginning of the year order, winter order, and then summer order. So basically, 3 times a year, there was really no inventory on what we had and what we didn't have. Doing it this way, I wanted to kind of micro the orders so that way we could see what works, what didn't work. For instance, I think we had two or three disinfectants that we were using in the past. They all kind of did the same thing. And it was kind of pointless to, have 2 or 3 disinfectants for the district. So we kind of narrowed that down to one. Same way with bowl cleaner, for instance. We had 2 different bowl cleaners. So stuff like that helps narrow it down on my end, helps save the district money. Basically, the good news is looking at the numbers and the financial report and talking to Todd, 13-14, we did, as a district, $30,625 for chemicals, paper, chemicals, etc. 14-15, we did $38,841. 15-16, we did 46,744. I took over 16-17, and like I said, we started to implement that last spring in the cage, so there was some leeway there. We actually, as a district, last year did $32,975, so we saved $14,508 from 14-15 here. 17-18, which would be our full year, right now, and this is estimate because I've got one more order, summer order, which I've got that total. We should be right at $24,333 this year, so that's a savings of $22,000. Like I said, it's just a small, you know, something small, and it's my guys. It's a change for them. You know, I'm not gonna say that they were happy about it at first because it's a change. You know, you can't just go in and grab what you want. But I'm happy the number shows this because I can relay this back to the guys and say, you know, this is, you know, different apples and oranges, but this is half of a custodian, you know, salary. Like I said, from just an example, basically every year or every month, I'm sorry, every 2 months, I kind of make up a worksheet of what we use per item, per price, and then I highlight in the monthly whether the price goes up, stays the same, or goes down. I do that every month this past year because we had no baseline of what we spent as a district. So for this past year, pretty much I'm able to see what it is that the companies are, you know, the prices are slowly going up at. For example, I think last month it was mops. I know it's a small thing, but our mops went up $3 a mop. That's a big increase. You know, so I called the company, worked with them. I seen what worked with our guys, you know, and we ended up going with a different mop that was cheaper, which saves us money in the long run. Like I said, I just kind of wanted to give that to you guys, give you an update on what we're doing with our chemicals. If you guys have any questions or the public has any questions, you know, feel free to call or email. Like I said, I work hard to, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, they see the state auditor's report and stuff like that, and, you know, you can get a box of toilet paper online, you know, for a little bit cheaper. You know, I take all that into consideration when I take this real seriously. I'm a taxpayer. Short of about 6 years, I woke up every day and come in here. And, you know, it's my money too. So, you know, I take this very seriously and I try to save the district as much as I possibly can. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Mary here? No.
Yep.
There she is. Mayor, if you'd come up and share your good news, please.
I'm Mary Sparrow, Food Service Coordinator for the district. I've been employed by the district for more than 20 years. I'm married with 3 children, all Madison Plains graduates, and thanks to Madison Plains, all college graduates. For the past 6 years, I've had the pleasure of working with the conscientious and caring food service staff. We have 7 full-time and 3 part-time cooks and 2 cafeteria aides at the intermediate building. In these years, both kitchens have been remodeled and the equipment was upgraded to handle the demands of a consolidated district. Our staff's been trained with the new and requirements, and we keep a girl in each kitchen ServSafe certified. We've received a $2,500 technology grant, a $600 culinary stipend, a $1,000 breakfast grant, and a $5,000 equipment grant. We've had a chef in school. We've offered culinary classes, hosted an ODE webinar, and a taste testing event. But this year we had an administrative review of the high school. Now we've had reviews in the past, all with positive results. But unlike past reviews, this one was way more extensive and detailed. It was a comprehensive evaluation of our school meals program, both breakfast and lunch. And before our review was every 5 years, now it's scheduled for every 3 years, with an expanded scope of review for both the critical and general areas. This includes the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act and the federal programs. To prepare, ODE offers numerous courses, classes, webinars, resources. The objective is to determine whether the schools meet the program requirements. Head of Food Service is now required to do nutrient analysis of our meals, components and quantities, public announcements,
staff training, track revenues, budgets, meal counting and claiming, on-site monitoring, wellness policy updates, food safety, hazard plans and training, civil rights, certification, benefits and issuance, procurement, signage, and that's not to mention the production sheets and inventory that we've got to do every day. So the checklist alone for this was 5 pages long. The review consisted of an off-site portion where we gathered the nutritional information for every item served within the meal period. We answered questions and uploaded the material requested into the ODE portal. There was a phone interview. Our consultant asked us questions to confirm that we knew what we were doing. And an on-site review to watch us in action. So, on the day of the on-site portion of the review, our hardworking staff had the 45-year-old kitchen, believe me, it always looked good. They knocked themselves out. They prepared a very difficult menu on a shortened day before a long weekend. The consultant arrived at 7 a.m. to check out our breakfast. At the high school, we offer a traditional breakfast in the cafeteria, grab and go. We have a breakfast cart, and with the coffee bar, we're able to offer breakfast after the bell. She checked it all out, liked everything we were doing and everything we offered. She was smiling. So we explained that how, with the help of a student, we revamped our serving area, showed her how we repurposed equipment to meet our needs. We rearranged counters, carts, coolers for each meal and meal period. She thought that was a good idea. The tour of the cafeteria, she checked out the vending machine to be sure that it was Smart Snack compliant, and with Dr. Unger's help, it was. She loved the posters Mr. Carroll's art students made and that we decorated the cafeteria with them. She checked to be sure we had all the required information posted, watched the girls in action, and our girls did an amazing job. They had the salad bar set up, everything that was required for lunch, and an extra vegetable to boot. They did everything they were supposed to, encouraged the fruits and vegetables, smiled, spoke quietly to students without money. Our snack line had all kinds of goodies. Parfait, snacks, ice cream, fruit, salads, everything was Smart Snack compliant. And she was delighted at the variety of food that we were offering and commented on how nice everything looked. Between meals, all the paperwork and production sheets and policies were examined. On almost 600 applications on file, she closely examined 253 of them for errors. The exit interview, she commented on how neat and organized the paperwork was and said our food was appealing. So we passed. We did good. So, I'm retiring at the end of this school year. I won't be here for the next review. You guys get to do it all yourself. I've enjoyed my years at Madison Plains, and I treasure my memories of the staff and students. And I wanted to thank you for the opportunities the district has provided me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Interesting reading material because you need better replacement.
Thank you. I appreciate all your hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank both Brian and Mary. They were asked last week after they were talking about some of the good news items to present to the board. I don't think they anticipated having 70 people here to listen to this, but that's okay. I think you hear that even when we lose people, people come in, there's a core group of people in Madison Plains that are so vested in this district. Brian certainly is and does a fantastic job for us. I wanted you to hear his passion for making sure that our buildings are clean and this staff is taken care of. And Mary, what she doesn't tell you is when she retired last year, she wanted to retire. She wanted to be done. She had a lot of pleading and bargaining. Bartering between myself and Mr. Penny, begging her to stay another year, and she did. And we are so grateful for that, Mary. Thank you. And you can see why. Her knowledge is outstanding. And when you hear her say, my girls, she takes that to heart. She really wants them to perform at a certain level and praises them for that. So we will be hard-pressed to find a replacement for Mary. So thank you again, Mary.
Now I'll move to Treasurer's Report.
All right,
The board committee report, finance committee is also listed. However, we did have to cancel our meeting due to the school. We will reschedule our April meeting. But moving forward to the treasurer's report, before I do that, I just want to echo Mr. Detweiler's sentiments on Mr. Garrett and Ms. Sparrow. They truly do take ownership of their departments. Not every food service operation is solvent. A lot of times the general fund has to support the food service operation. Ours is profitable and supports itself, and that's in large part credit to her. Also, when she was going through the review, she didn't necessarily mention that had we not been doing what we should, there could have been financial repercussions to some of those areas. We did not have that, so I'm appreciative of that. Brian Garrett, he knew how well he was doing. He came to me asking me for those reports because he thought it would show what he wanted to see. So I didn't go to him. That was all him. And it did absolutely did show what he expected to see as far as the reduced costs. So when we go through the spending plan and we say that we're trending better than what we thought we were, it's in large part to people like Brian who are taking ownership of their departments and finding ways that they can personally reduce the cost for Madison Plains. So I appreciate both of them very much. With that, I'll move into my official report here. The first thing I have listed is the audit report. And the audit report is listed on my website, on the MPLSD website, on the treasurer's page. It's also listed on the state of Ohio's website, the state of Ohio auditor's website. So if you want to dig into it deeper, you can find it in those two areas. And the board has also had the opportunity to review it, as well as the finance committee. With that, I've got the summary of results. So that's really what everybody wants to see, okay? Before I get to that, I will say we had an unqualified opinion, which is what you want. That means that there's no deficiencies in our operation that requires a qualified opinion. A qualified opinion meaning they have to approve it with a qualification or an acceptance. We don't have that. We have an unqualified, unmodified opinion. The summary of results, I'll go down through them briefly. Again, it's an unmodified financial statement opinion. There were no material weaknesses at the financial statement level. There was one significant deficiency in internal control at the financial statement level, and I'll touch on that. There were no reported material non-compliance at the financial statement level. There were no material weaknesses in internal control for any major federal programs. There were no significant deficiencies in internal control for any major federal programs. The opinion on the major federal programs was an unmodified, unqualified opinion as well. There were no reportable findings, and the major programs tested were Title I, which is one of our grants, the Special Education Cluster, IDEA, and CFDA, which is our food service. The dollar threshold tested was $750,000. And were we a low-risk auditee? No. So you see where they tested a greater number of federal programs and listing us as a low-risk auditee was because of our previous material weakness finding that stays in the report for 3 years. If you remember, that was the posting error. So no missing funds or anything. We had something posted in between the Permanent Improvement Fund and General Fund incorrectly. We've remedied that right away. But again, it stays in the report for 3 years. Back to the one item, we didn't have a perfect audit like we did last year, but we do have one item that was required to be reported in the report. That was the significant deficiency in internal control at the financial statement level. It's listed here. I'll just read what that is. It's a posting of receipts error. The school district should have procedures and controls in place to help prevent and detect errors in financial reporting. Property tax receipts were not posted to the proper funds per the county auditor's statements of semi-annual apportionment of taxes. Not posting receipts accurately resulted in the financial statements requiring adjustment. The district agrees with the proposed adjustment and has posted the adjustment to their accounting system. The financial statements reflect all adjustments. To help ensure accuracy and reliability in the financial reporting process, we recommend the treasurer perform a detailed review of all receipt postings. Such review should include procedures to ensure all receipts are properly posted. Now, what that means in short is we had been posting our tax settlements at a percentage, a fixed percentage. So when we receive a tax settlement receipt, the clerk, as she was instructed to do, was posting 93% to the general fund and 7% to the PI, because that's the average percentage for those areas. Not all the time do we get a detailed breakdown with the amounts that we receive. What this is saying and what we should have been doing is at the end of receiving all of those receipts, it's okay to post the 93 and 7. However, at the end, we should have been doing a reconciliation to make sure that the actual percentage was posted between the two funds. So the difference was less than was 1% or less. It was not a material amount financially, but because it was between funds, it had to be reported. What we did was to determine the solution, which is a reconciliation, complete reconciliation at the end of the year, and we are able to then move forward and adjust our posting practices to accommodate the auditor's requests and what's most accurate. Originally, the auditors wanted that to be a material weakness, which would have stayed in the report another 3 years. We were able to mitigate that down to a significant deficiency, which doesn't seem like it would sound better, but a significant deficiency is better than material weakness. The reason they mitigated it down was because they realized we did have a corrective action plan in place and that it wasn't being done out of, it wasn't an error. The clerk was doing what she was instructed to do. And it was something that the auditors had never had an issue with in the past. This had been done this way for a few years, and again, the financial amount wasn't material, but this was the first year the auditors wanted a corrective action plan in place, and the first time that we were actually aware of something that we should have been doing a little different. So in short, we corrected the problem, we showed them we're able to correct the problem now and moving forward, and so they reduced that down to a significant deficiency, which keeps us from being a high-risk auditee, which requires less testing the next audit, and it only stays in the report for 1 year. So if you want any more information on the audit, again, it's about 75 pages long or so. Mr. Coburn can tell you as he skimmed down through it. It is comprehensive. If there was anything to find, chances are they would have found it. And we ended up with one comment, which I always strive for a perfect audit. This wasn't the year for that. We did do pretty well. I'm not going to get too down on myself or anybody.
So. We'll give you a certificate still.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm still going for that. So, does anybody have any questions on the audit? I know you've had a chance to review it. Okay. Moving forward, my financial reports, I just want to point out before you approve the financial reports or vote on approving the financial reports, the spending plan that we have in place. Again, we've been saying for a while now that we're trending along better than what we had expected with the October forecast. Again, little instances of that are when people like Brian Garrett get up and say how we're saving money. It does show up in our spending plan. So you see we're doing better. We are 4.4% better on our receipts, and we're 2.4% under our expenditures, what we had expected to be. So what that adds up to is $900,000. That actually should be about $700,000. Just want to point that out, and that's what you'll see at the next meeting. The projected June tax collections are still assuming we didn't receive that advance back in January. So we had already received a certain amount of that. So it is kind of in there twice. So I just want to make sure, you know, everything out front, you know, that will go down. So the $6,788,000 that we had budgeted is it is that, not necessarily the $6.9 million there on that top. But again, just to point out, our expenditures have been relatively flat, our revenue's been relatively flat. In fact, we have less revenue now than what we had in 2013. And then our spending balance. Our cash balance, you see, is a steadily decreasing balance due to deficit spending. It is eroding away at our general fund balance, and we are very close to that red line, which again is zero. So that's what we're all working towards, is to try and prop that up and do the best we can with what we have. That's where we show a need for additional revenue or budget modification, is to see that steadily declining general fund balance. We are trending a little better overall. It shows us being right on point right now. However, I think we are going to end up a little better just because we saw that big advance back in January, February. That's where that ticked up. And so you didn't see as much in March. So that's where it kind of leveled out. Just wanted to point that out. Nothing much has changed. I will point out that included in there now are the amounts that I referenced last meeting for the Mount Sterling Enterprise Zone Agreement. We did receive that $120,000 roughly from Mount Sterling. So again, appreciate that from Mount Sterling and their fiscal clerk, Courtney Rickard. She's doing a good job with that. And that's about it. So, any questions on my financial report?
I appreciate you giving the breakdown. I think I know you're planning to attend some of these community meetings. I think it's going to be a key piece. A lot of us have heard it a number of different times, but I think getting that information out to the public, like you just said, less revenue than we had in 2013, that type of information I think is helpful. So look forward to you participating in those.
I'll be there.
Anything else?
Motion
that
upon recommendation of the Treasury Board approve
the
financial item H3.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Superintendent's report.
Thank you very much. The budget reduction recommendation, I'm going to defer that to our next meeting, a special meeting, what have you. We'll have more discussion about that, so I'm not going to have a conversation other than that it's ongoing. We're still working on it, and we will get it finalized. The second item I have is the Office of Civil Rights Commission. We did receive a letter of determination back from them, while not getting into any names. The district was charged with, I'll just read it, that we had acted towards age discrimination towards one of our employees. The commission found insufficient evidence to support charging parties' allegation of being disciplined or harassed based on their age or in retaliation for engaging in a protected activity. The commission determined it is not probable that the respondent has engaged in an unlawful discriminatory practice. Therefore, the commission hereby orders that this matter is dismissed. I think that's important because it's kind of been around the district in a lot of different ways that this was hanging out there. The Civil Rights Commission has ruled that they dismissed this case. So I think that's important for people to know. School safety and security. Not that we ever have any issues around in regards to school safety and security. However, I do want to talk to you. Last week we did have a great meeting in regards to our panel and questions that were answered at our community meeting. Our turnout was not great. I wish we would have had a lot of people there because questions they had a few days later about a crisis would have already been answered. Hopefully we can get something like that planned again in the near future. In regards to our recent issue, it's always a struggle for myself, the administration, the board to make sure that the communication that goes out is timely, it's appropriate, and it provides the information that parents and the staff need to feel safe and secure when they come to school, to work, or to be educated. We think we did a very good job of that in this case, and unless you're within the case, it's difficult for you to know that. And our challenge is to provide enough information where you feel comfortable, where you don't feel like we're hiding something, because we're not. But oftentimes, as in this case, we're working hand-in-hand with the sheriff's office. They are still actively investigating the threat that was made to the high school. As soon as I hear from them that they've concluded their investigation, I can share more information, and we will. But we have to have a little trust and faith from the community that
we have the best interests of the staff and the students at heart, always. So, again, we also listen. We listen at length over the weekend with the concerns of our parents and the community and our staff, and that's why you saw the closure on Monday. Okay, and we will do that every time we have an instance like this. We'll listen. So that is our safety and security. Any questions about anything that happened the last few days, the board?
All right. And section J, policy and governance.
Yep, there you go.
Thank you.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance item J2.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items K2 through K4.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Yeah. L4 is gone.
Four is gone?
L4.
Yeah, but what about three? Do we include three in that?
Can I modify that? Yeah, we need to go back. Personnel
I'm going to abstain on three.
Should have been K2.
Gotcha. I see.
Okay.
K4. Did we complete the vote on K?
Yes.
Okay. You need to act to rescind that vote.
Based on a motion.
Correct. You need to make a motion to rescind the consent agenda for K1.
I make a motion to rescind the motion and the vote?
K1.
K1.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Motion is rescinded.
So I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items K2 and K4.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items K3.
Correct. I'll second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
One second. A little too fast.
Sorry.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Abstain.
Motion carries 4-0.
Now we'll move to section L, business.
Make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent's board approve business items L2 and L3.
Second.
Discussion?
L4 is also listed, but it's stricken, as that was a recommendation for the budget.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the following donations as listed below.
Second.
Discussion? Section M donation. Sorry.
Tula.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
No new business that I'm aware of. So I move that we enter into executive session at 9:19. To enter into executive session 9:19 for the purpose of sections as noted as allowed under the following Ohio Revised Code 121.22G. Items are allowed under the following Ohio Revised Code. Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual. Or Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or state statutes.
Second.
Discussion?
Maybe 4.
Okay. And we'll also add Section 4, preparing for, conducting, or reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Who's the second?
Kelly.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0 in the executive session.
There will not be any action taken after the executive session. Our next meeting, we have a special meeting scheduled for May 1st, also dependent on our discussions with your union representatives, or most likely will be another special meeting before the 30th as well. We will
go ahead and set that.
We'll work with them, I guess, just see when they can meet with us. We'll get that announced as soon as we're aware of when that date's going to be. But there's a special meeting on the 1st, and then our next regular scheduled meeting is May 15th. The meeting on the 1st will be at 6 o'clock. Thank you.